Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love. Be courageous and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now.
All right. Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And today we are talking about men and their relationship needs and edges. And that is a huge, wide, vague, broad topic that we are going to step into today. And before I recognize, honor, introduce our fabulous guest today, just a reminder that the Elizabeth Cunningham Show is live every Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time on the Transformation Network Facebook page, and is then aired on YouTube and podcast every Thursday, and all links are in the show notes, so you never have to miss an episode. So on today's episode, we'll be talking with Veronica Freer about relationship needs and growing edges. Veronica, aka Indelicate Coaching, which I love that name, by the way, P.S.
Me too.
is a certified somatica sex and relationship coach and your guide for fierce and loving intimacy. She goes deep into emotional experiences to help single folks and couples have better relationships and hotter sex. I mean, that sounds amazing. They work with people of all genders and especially love helping masculine folks manage shame and vulnerability. Before following her dream of becoming a doula of the taboo, she had a 10 plus year career in public service and social justice. In addition to their certification with the Somatica Institute, she also has a degree in psychology with a minor in sociology and a master's in public management. They're a non-monogamous Scorpio, Moon, Cat Mom, and a Stone Cold Fox. Accurate. Plus, the Pacific Northwest is her home. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited. I'm so excited and intrigued about this topic, and I'm really interested. I'm like, what are we talking about today? Mm-hmm. This is so great. Mm-hmm. So I get to feed all of my curiosity too. So the topic is the relationship needs and growing edges, specifically with men. And like you said, one of the things that you work with, masculine, and I want to identify who you mean by men. You know, we talked about gender and we also talked about masculine folks. And so just inside of introducing the topic for today, let's start there. When you say helping men, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I say men, I mean all men. So anyone who identifies as a man. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe you've talked about that on your show before, but like, I don't feel like it needs like further qualification. If you are a man, if you identify as a man, I'm talking about you. And then, you know, in addition to that, I am going to be using some like gender binary terms today, because part of what I'm addressing is socialization. Like, what does it mean to be socialized as a man? What does it mean to live in a masculine body or to hold masculine energy? and all the baggage and stereotypes that comes along with that. And a lot of people can experience that in a lot of different ways. So I mean all men, and some things might not resonate for some people here. And I hope that people can sort of keep an open ear and understand that, like, that it's a real thing. Socialization is a real thing.
Right.
And like the pain that we feel from culture and the pressure to be masculine in a certain way or feminine in a certain way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think as much as, you know, and on the show, yeah, we've talked about different genders and the gender binary and things of that nature on the show. And we've also talked about, like, what does it mean to identify as a woman? We've talked about what does it mean to identify as a man? And I, just my own personal opinion, is that in this era that we're in is very, like, transition. Like, we're in this, we're holding a lot of spaces right now where we are holding the space of, we all grew up in this gender binary, and so we're all impacted by it. And we're, you know, coming to terms with that it, there isn't a gender binary. And now we're transitioning into that. But we do have to hold both spaces. And so I think that, you know, you spoke to that really well, really eloquently of, you know, if you identify as a man, this conversation is for you. That, you know, that you do have to hold both of those spaces, right?
Yeah, and I think the easiest way to really identify where, like, a lot of the baggage is like the term toxic masculinity, mm-hmm. Which I think is a really helpful term. It was coined by a man. He did not intend to do harm with that term.
Right.
It was intended to identify the toxic patriarchal, like macho pressure to never feel emotion, never show weakness, to really internalize a lot of shame.
Right.
And I mean, I think people understand what toxic masculinity is, but I want to be clear that I don't think all masculinity is toxic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I want to move on to, what do you mean by relationship needs and edges? What do you mean by that? Let's go there.
Yeah. Well, in particular, I really want to share, because I work with men so much, I think probably more than your average relationship coach. It's always at least 50% or more of my clientele is men. What I see is that we all, regardless of gender, have growing edges around vulnerability and shame. And our comfort with intimacy. And I hear a lot of the same challenges coming from people regardless of their gender. And I want people to be able to see the humanity in their partner and not so much the story or the narrative that they've been fed by culture. So, like, it's really easy sometimes because of the patriarchal culture that we live in to make men the villain of our stories.
Right.
Like, oh, well, he's just not into commitment because he just wants to do this. He's selfish. And it's less of a, like, well, maybe there's some underlying trauma or emotional challenges there that I want to be curious about.
Yeah, I would love, oh my gosh, I love, because I do love this so much, because I do see that men are painted as the villain, you know, and it's so easy to fall into that trap of, like, oh, well, here's the person that we can blame, or here's the group of people that we can blame. And, you know, oh yeah, it is society, but then it does heap all of this pressure, responsibility, like unnecessary, I believe unnecessary blame onto men individually.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it is unnecessary. And it's not to say that we don't want to hold men accountable for their mistakes or abuses of privilege, or lack of self-awareness that they might have around that privilege. Mm-hmm. It's just to acknowledge that we're all sort of figuring this out. And as we come into this modern era of masculinity and what gender really means to us or doesn't mean to us, mm-hmm. I think the most radical thing we can do is to be inclusive of men in that conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe not the most. Let's not put a hierarchy on it, but I think it is a really a radical choice to include masculinity in that conversation.
Well, we have to. I mean, it's part of it. You know, mm-hmm. I think that we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we were just to throw that out, because mm-hmm. then it's like, then we're creating a different division. We had one type of division. We don't want to replace one division with the other with a different type of division. Right. Yeah. And so what I would love to, we're going to go on break here really quick. Thank you so much for kind of setting the foundation up of this conversation. And what I'd really love to get into after our break is, you know, what is it that you see? Like, we talked about, you know, how vulnerability and shame shows up differently for people who are more masculine and for people who identify as men. So what does that uniquely look like for them? What are the unique challenges that they face inside of that, that we can be aware of, that they can be aware of? So we're going to answer those questions when we come back.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julie O
and JoJo Rose,
every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul
and guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to Be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to Be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Join Erica Gifford Mills in her signature series, The Rooted Life. This virtual 12-week series will equip, empower, and enlighten you. This is a coaching series that allows both group and individual work. 12 weekly, one-hour sessions in the comfort of your own home. Schedule your free Empower Hour now at GetRootedRadio.com. That is GetRootedRadio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And today we are talking with Veronica Priere about men and the unique needs and challenges that men face in relationship. And so what we were talking about before we went on break is specifically around vulnerability and shame. And so what are the unique challenges that men face in vulnerability and shame?
Yeah, well, so the first thing that popped into my head before we went to the break is that I feel like a lot of men out there, men who are dating women specifically, they're doing this sort of like double time job of thinking about their own needs, desires, fears, anxiety, but also really afraid of and working to manage the feelings of their partner. And some of the stuff that comes up for me when I talk about making men the villain in a woman's story, I think that helps women to mask their own vulnerability and sort of avoid the deeper, softer, more tender layers of intimacy. Because if it's his problem, then I don't have to share more deeply. I don't have to get into the more challenging aspects of how I feel or, you know, make requests more tenderly. It's more like I can pick on you and say, this is your problem, and like distance myself from it. And a lot of the men that I work with, of course, I cannot speak for all men. This is like the people who come to me are, you know, there's a culture in my practice. So I'm probably drawing in really specific groups of people. I want to just name that. But the men who come to me are, they consider themselves to be feminists. They care a lot about doing right by their partners. And so they're kind of over-functioning. Mm-hmm. They're really stressed about hurting their partner's feelings. Mm-hmm. And then they're in this constant feedback loop of being indirect and not addressing their own boundaries, not making the requests that they want to make. Just put it really simply, like, if they want to take an hour for themselves, they're really afraid that their wife is going to be like, must be nice. So there's going to be like sort of a passive aggressive attack on that because their partner feels overworked.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm really hoping is that rather than feeling kind of heated or frustrated or triggered by this, women hearing this recognize, oh, I feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm working overtime to understand what my partner is thinking. We're all doing the same thing.
Yeah.
This is what I hope people will see.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me of something that you said at the beginning of our conversation, which is being able to see our shared humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see that we're, you know, putting in the work. And like you said, you know, you're talking about your clients, which if they're coming to you is an indication that they are willing and wanting to put in the work to, you know, unlearn things about toxic masculinity and to be there for their partner and to show up in ways that like maybe they haven't been able to in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess there's one argument that it's like, yes, we're talking about a specific subset of men. But I think like just generally having that narrative of, well, men are this way, right? Like men are aloof, you know, men don't consider things, men aren't detail oriented, men, like all of those generalizations where then, and I have heard, you know, women in my family like pick on the men in my family, saying, you know, like putting them down and being like, oh, well, of course you're that way because like, of course you didn't think about that. Of course you, you know, were an idiot in this way or whatever. And it does attribute to like this idea of like, oh, well, because I'm a man, then therefore I'm bad at these things and I'll never be better at it. And then it does perpetuate a cycle that's unhealthy. Right.
Yeah. And you nailed it. I feel really heartbroken when I first meet a man, and it doesn't go away right away. It comes up over time in our sessions, but they come to me just so completely ashamed of who they are emotionally, spiritually, sexually. They're ashamed of their urges. Almost every single one of them thinks they're addicted to porn, which feels unlikely. I didn't come here to talk today about whether I believe porn addiction is real or not, but it always feels like they're sort of problematizing things that are actually like really common. They feel like their sexual urges are disgusting. They feel like it's really funny. Almost all of them will share with me up front, like, this is something I desire romantically or sexually, and I'm just really afraid that it's disgusting. And it's usually like medium vanilla. And I think what most of, they all say the same thing.
Right.
It's never something that feels so like mind blowing and unique that I'm like, oh, let's explore that.
Mm-hmm.
They feel really ashamed of every misspoken word in every relationship. They feel they're still beating themselves up about what they did to their girlfriend when they were 16. Mm-hmm. They're really internalizing the idea of toxic masculinity, and they don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've personally had a partner who, you know, identifies male, and like his words were, I don't want to be a monster.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that it broke my heart out, because like in my eyes, like he's so far from a monster. Like he's this amazing man. Like I love him.
Yeah. All of them are, who say that to me. They all are terrified of being a monster. And I'm just like, you couldn't possibly be a monster. I bet I'm scarier than you are. I promise I'm scarier than you are.
So why, but it kind of comes back to this question of like, why should we care about this? Because there is this narrative that it's like, yeah, well, men have been on top. Men have this privilege, you know, we should take men down a peg or two, you know? So why should we care about this? Why should we care about like some men who are like internalizing, you know, toxic masculinity? It's like, oh, boo hoo, get over it. Like, you privileged human being. Like, why should we care about this?
Yeah, I have a voice that says that.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm listening to the complaints, I'm just like, okay. trying my best to be present and be there for what they're sharing with me, their like real human experience.
Yeah.
I have to really think about my lens. And I've had the urge many times in my life when I've heard a man say, I feel really jealous of women's fashion choices. I just, in the past, have immediately squashed that down. Like, yeah, it's not that simple. And we're going to get shamed and messed with no matter what we wear. And so rather than hearing that, I'm just like, well, you have all this privilege, so shut up. And I totally get that urge. And the last thing I want to do is dismiss people's feelings around that, because it's real. We've all had, and I think most of us have had the experience of feeling sort of squashed or under the thumb of toxic masculine culture.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think this goes so deep that I think it's most men behaving, a lot of the behaviors that I see that are unproductive and unhelpful in men, I can see it in the rearview mirror of like the super macho dude in the huge pickup truck that's like giving me the finger on I-5. He's giving me the finger because I was giving him the eyes of like a stern mother in the rearview mirror to be like, why are you following me so close? And he,
Of course I would
be thinking this in traffic. Of course, this is like my lifestyle. I'm just like, yeah, I can see that I triggered something for you that made you feel like you broke a rule or you're being a bad dude.
Right.
And this is just like the macho guy in the truck. I don't know anything about him, but like stereotypes would say maybe he's not so, like sensitive and like worried about all this internalized stuff. And that doesn't mean he hasn't also internalized it. And that reaction is dangerous. This is why I think we should care. Shame, I think, leads to the violent culture that we live in.
Well, and I completely agree with you. And I know that it's, especially when someone is complaining to a, more oppressed like group, like, you know, both of us are white. And so let's recognize the privilege that we hold in this conversation. But when we have, you know, someone who has more privilege than us, you know, saying, having a complaint, it is easy to go into that spot of like, oh, well, da da da. But when we do, it, just as you said, right, when we have that reaction of squashing someone's feelings and shaming someone's feelings, we perpetuate the cycle. Like, regardless of, you know, like what other circumstances might be at play, it isn't the move, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I want to talk about. We are going to take another break, but what I want to talk about when we get back is like, okay, well, if that's not the move, then what's the move? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what do we, okay, like, okay, I have to recognize people's like emotions that I don't agree with. Like, what the, what? No, not going to do that. But it's like, but what's the move, right? Like, what can we do? So that's what we're going to talk about when we get back from break.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
Looking for the next Can't Put It Down book? Pick up Unapologetically Favored by Courtney Cottrell, 21-year active duty master chief with the U.S. Navy and motivational speaker. See this beautiful coming-of-age story unfold through the eyes of a true leader. A testimony of tenacity, faith, and self-love that will have you embarking on your own path of self-discovery. Visit unapologeticallyfavored.com to learn more about Courtney and her work.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Sometimes being human has its challenges. Our physical health falters, our spirits sag, our dreams don't immediately come to fruition. Welcome to the power of Maximum Medicine Radio. Join me, Doc Martin, in conversations that will blow your mind about healing. In our hit show, Doc Martin addresses the scientific with bridging to the mystical approaches to give you a new narrative about Maximum Medicine. In this live call-in show, we will journey into the extraordinary genius of the human body and talk about other beliefs that impact being your multidimensional self. We seek the seen and the unseen and explore the earthbound and the otherworldly, all with the purpose of calling forth the maximum you. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And we are here talking with Veronica Freer about men. We're talking about men and the needs that men have and the relationship edges that they reach, especially inside of shame and vulnerability, or vulnerability and shame, or whichever one comes first. And on the last segment, we talked about, you know, why should we care about this? You know, why don't we just shame all men? Because I feel like a lot of us, especially a lot of people who identify as feminists or who get really, who have been hurt by men, are like, yeah, why don't we just shame all men? So let's just like name that. Let's just name that we have that urge inside of us. That's just like, yeah, why don't we just do that? But as we talked about, you know, like that's not going to, like, that's not productive. Like, we have to look at our shared humanity. We have to look at that, like, men are humans too. And we've been socialized in this way. And so what do we now do about that? So if shaming isn't the way, Veronica, if shaming's not the way, then what, you know, what's the move here?
Yeah, well, first of all, shaming all of the men sounds like a really fun and kinky afternoon. But when we're ready to move to the next level of like, okay, we have shit to do, let's go. I appreciate that question. And I think, you know, there's obviously going to be the nuanced stuff that people can tackle in one-on-one coaching that's like really dependent on your own personality and your relationship and your cultural experiences, whatever. But this feels like such a like eat your vegetables response. And I'm just so sorry ahead of time for how annoying this might sound. I think a lot of women, we are working so hard to take care of people and take care of ourselves, and or people socialized as women or people living like in the culture of like what it means to be a woman. I have to take care of people. I have to have 7 jobs, whatever.
I can't relate to that at all.
No, not at all. Right. Like somewhere you're probably taking on more responsibility than you really wanted or can handle. This is just, you know, the way that our culture has shown us like where our worth is. This is true for a lot of people. And so I think it's really frustrating for women to hear like, oh, there's more for you to be doing. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit, there's less for you to be doing. I want you to be doing less caretaking and less like managing everyone's schedule and less managing everyone else's emotional experiences. And getting a little bit more present with physical, like the somatic impulses and experiences in our bodies. So like when I receive a text message from a partner that's like, oh no, I forgot this thing at home when I'm on my way to go meet them, my immediate physical response is a little bit of anxiety and this like mental story of like, they're gonna be cranky with me when they arrive, so I better do something to manage that. Or I should give them suggestions about how to fix the problem that they're having. Mm-hmm. This is what I want people to be doing less of, regardless of your gender. But like in particular, to answer your question, I want women to be doing less of this over-functioning on behalf of their relationships, step back and notice their own anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then the next part is getting more resilient for feedback and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's really uncomfortable. I think about all the need, the nitpicking and the feedback we give to men, all the little bit to the left and all the like, your shirt looks messy, and how it would feel for women to receive that level of scrutiny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is, because I relate to that. And like the partners that I currently have, none of them identify as men. But even then, I got a text message yesterday that was like, oh, I forgot this thing at our apartment, and so I have to go back and get it. And immediately anxiety, and I was automatically like, problem solving, like, oh, I should help them with that, or I should drop this, or I should da da da, all this stuff, like immediate problem solving mode for something that like they didn't even ask me for.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you don't have as much space, I think, when you're doing so much for other people, you don't have as much space to receive requests for what your partners actually desire, because you're going to be resentful. Like, mm-hmm. I'm already doing so much.
Yeah, I really hear that. And then what I hear inside of the resiliency and creating boundaries is also the space for your partner, whether they identify as a man or not, but like the space for your partner to figure it out, you know, like they are an adult human who's totally capable of figuring it out. And what I'm also hearing is like the letting go of how it has to look, how it should be, the way that you have it in your head, like letting go of the attachment of how it needs to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which also means you might feel a little helpless or a little less in control on the other side of that.
Or a little less value, because like you said at the beginning, like attached, you know, when you attach your value to what you're able to provide, it also might bring up that question of value. Like, am I contributing to this relationship in a way that I should be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I still bring value to my partner? Do I still bring value to this relationship? And I think that that also goes, circles all the way back around to, well, if you're blaming your partner for something, then you don't look at that in yourself.
Yeah, precisely.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We just got, that was like a box of like clothes where you're just like, how many clothes are in this box right now? Jeez.
Yeah. And what I love about that, I mean, I see it as like this whirlpool, you know, this is like the cycle that I talk about with everyone, regardless of your gender. I think a lot of us can relate to all pieces of this conversation. Like, what is my value if I'm not overgiving? You know, am I allowed to feel the way that I feel without setting someone off? Are they going to lose it if I tell them that I need to spend the night by myself? But this is what it all comes back to for me, is like finding your own center and not putting it on the other person and pausing just long enough so that you can let someone show up like an adult in your relationship. And it might not be exactly how you wanted them to show up, but I mean, that's where fun and sexiness comes in. Cause it's not sexy to be like controlling the way someone shows up. It gets old really fast.
Yeah. Well, and as you said, you know, builds resentment because if you have a way that your partner quote unquote should show up and they continuously don't show up that way, then that is a recipe for resentment. That is like, turn on the oven to 350 and follow the directions recipe for resentment.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
Just like, oh, you want resentment? Here you go. Here's the directions.
Very easy to follow steps.
Oh my God. No, and I do. And it does, you know, these sort of concepts and principles do start to lose gender after a while. But when we attribute them to how our culture sees masculinity, how our culture sees femininity, wow. then we start to see those nuances, right? Where it's like, men should be this way, women should be this way. If you are masculine presenting, then this is the way that you can feel, this is the way that you can't feel. So it does start to take on those flavors, but you know, as we've gone through and started to unpack, we do get to that shared humanity where now it's like, oh, well, regardless of your gender, if you expect your partner to be a certain way and you hold them to that standard without telling them, by the way, then here's your recipe for resentment.
Yeah. And it's not even just the high standard of what I want you to be. It's also the expectation that my worst fears about this relationship are going to come true. So I'm already behaving as if you're going to disappoint me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let that sink in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I really do. And, you know, I think answering the question of, well, what's the move, is the finding of your center, finding of your own center and then being able to communicate that and communicate boundaries around that and to allow your partner to show up as an adult or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the phrases I would put to that for people so that they can have a more concrete vision of what they're striving for is identifying your own desires, learning how to talk about your desires with your partner, learning how to hear and listen about their desires, and then also self-regulation. So I'm learning my own triggers. I'm learning what it feels like in my body to be triggered. And then I'm managing that for myself, or at least naming it for someone if it's like beyond the beyond my ability to really regulate myself in that moment.
Hmm. Yeah, like practicing emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Like in actual, you know, like when we talk about like having emotional intelligence, like what that sounds like to me is like that is the actual practice of
it's the practice, and it's like in real time.
Yeah,
because you can use emotional intelligence or not, or you can use it in a manipulative way, but it's like the practice of being emotionally intelligent and self-aware and managing.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we are going to go on another break. Whew, oh my gosh, how much have we covered? And like, I cannot believe that it's like we're about to have our last segment. We've covered so much. So we are going to go on another break. And when we come back, we're going to begin to wrap up the show. We're going to have our lovely end of show questions, which I'm always a fan of. And then I also want to give you the opportunity to share how people can reach out to you, how people can find you. Clearly, you are an incredibly knowledgeable and great resource. I can only imagine that it's fantastic to work with you. So I want to give you the opportunity to share how people can get a hold of you as well. So when we come back, that is what we shall do.
Feeling stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you. Go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Ally Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul, with Julie O and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And I'm just so happy to have had the privilege, the honor to have this conversation with you, Veronica, about men and their needs and edges in relationships, and to really go deep inside of toxic masculinity and shame and vulnerability, and really like how that, like, we got into like the nitty-gritty of how that plays out in relationships. So thank you so much for going so deep and unpacking so much in this episode.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I just woke up after 5 minutes and we talked about all these things. It just came out.
I know.
Yeah.
Wild, right? We've been talking for like 45 minutes and I'm like, what? How did that even happen?
Yeah, it went by really fast. I'm having a great time.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm so glad. All right. Well, we're going to do the last couple of questions for the show, and then we're going to go into how can people find you, what are you up to, how can people get involved in your work, because I'm sure that there's people who are listening and or watching right now that are like, oh my gosh, Veronica, I need you. Okay, so the first question is, what does love mean to you?
I love this question. I'm all about unconditional love, and I really like talking about it and unpacking what, like, the pressure people feel around that or the expectations, because I think when we say unconditional love, people think unconditional relationship. And I don't mean that at all. I mean, like, I am love walking down the street. I can feel love all the time. The love that I feel for someone is not dependent on, you know, little day-to-day changes. A relationship might be, there might be reasons why I can't continue a relationship with someone or why I might need to shift. But love is its own thing. And so at the risk of being a little long-winded, whenever I hear other relationship coaches or anybody talk about, how do you know it's really love? And I'm like, this just feels like such a pointless question to me. It just is. It's probably love. It's not necessarily a great basis for decision-making. I think that's just, if we separate the relationship escalator from the concept of love, then it becomes so much less complicated.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
I feel that deeply.
Yeah. And, you know, I still feel pressure around things like relationship escalators. So it's not like I've completely ascended into a light body. I still feel those things, and I understand why people ask those questions. I just don't think they're the right questions.
I got it. Yeah. No, I got that. Yeah. All right. If people got nothing else, what do you hope that they got out of this episode?
I just want us to see the humanity in each other and to maybe stop racing to the bottom of, like, who's suffering the most. You know, I think it's a totally worthwhile conversation in some spheres when we talk about oppression and really, like, getting into the intersectionality of people's experiences. But when we're coming into relationship in the bedroom, what matters is how we're connecting.
Thank you. And what is one action that people could take?
I want people to slow down. And it doesn't, I'm not recommending that you go meditate for an hour or go to a spa for a day. It's not that big. I just mean moment to moment, take a breath before responding. That's it. Let things land, let things process.
Thank you. I felt that too. I felt that all the way down.
Good.
All right. What are you promoting and how can people find you?
Okay. So obviously I love being on Instagram. It's at indelicate_coaching. You can always find me there. But what I'm promoting right now is really about what we talked about today. I have a course called Siren and Sovereign. I'm making it a self-paced video course for women. So you can access the videos on your own time in the privacy of your own space. So you can sort of break down if you feel confronted by some of this information about claiming your own emotional stuff. You can get as silly or juicy or as sexy as you want because it'll be in your own private space. And then I also have two optional live calls happening at the end of July and the beginning of August for people who want to come in and feel that community with other women who are taking ownership of their own emotional experiences so they can have better and sexier relationships.
Beautiful. And we do have the your contact information in the show notes. But just so people know, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so Instagram is a really great way. And then I also have I'm really responsive on my email. It's me. If you email, you will be talking to me. indelicatecoaching@gmail.com. Or you can go to indelicatecoaching.com, my website. And I almost always have availability for discounted intro sessions for 30 minutes for anyone who wants to talk about one-on-one coaching. Or honestly, just pay me for 30 minutes to ask your one burning question. Sometimes people do that. Their problems are solved and then they disappear off into the horizon. And it's a beautiful thing. It's always there. It's always on the table.
Brilliant. Beautiful. All right. Veronica, thank you so, so much for being on the show today. I have absolutely adored this conversation. And, thank you every single person who has been listening. Thank you every person who's been watching. Got to run through all the things. Remember to like, subscribe, rate, review, share with a friend. Please share this with a friend. Please share this with a partner. This was an amazing conversation. And if it really spoke to you, or if you think of someone comes to top of mind, you're like, oh, this person, share it with them, do them the service and don't do them the disservice of not sharing it with them. All right. So we're live Tuesday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, every single Tuesday on the Transformation Network Facebook page. And then we are aired every Thursday on YouTube and podcasts. All the links are in the show notes. And until next time, my friends, keep loving.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on transformationtalkradio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at elizabethanncunningham.com. That's elizabethanncunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.